ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, Australia's healthcare system is in crisis. I think there's absolutely no doubt about that, and particularly in regional areas relying heavily on agency nurses due to a shortage of permanent staff. Now, that drives up spending, of course. One in five nurses leaving, not the fault of the nurses, but rather unfair treatment by state health departments, and it's a vicious cycle. So joining us on Overnights this morning is Michael Waites, Assistant General Secretary of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association, to chat with us about this incredibly important topic. G'day, Michael.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Look, I suppose, in a way, mate, it's a matter of where do we start with this? It really is a mess. That's not putting too fine a point on, is it?
No, it is a mess, particularly in some of our regional and rural and remote locations. The capacity for hospitals to recruit and then hang on to nursing and midwifery staff is in some situations absolutely dire.
Let's just try and nail it down. What are the primary challenges faced by the healthcare system and your nurses?
Well, I think what we're seeing is increased acuity and increased numbers presenting to our hospitals. So the people that are presenting to our emergency departments are not only presenting in bigger numbers, but they're sicker. And that flows through into the rest of the hospital system. We've got problems with elderly patients that need placement in residential aged care facilities not being able to be placed, and so we get bed block problem.
Yeah.
And driving this for the nurses and midwives, and the situation for them in particular, is this creates an untenable workload crisis for our members, coupled with pay that has failed to keep up with productivity increases in the wider economy, failed to keep up with inflation, means that it's become untenable for a lot of people to stay.
Yeah, Overnights here on the ABC is a nationwide, literally nationwide program. So if so, is the problem nationwide? We're talking to you in New South Wales. Is this state the worst offender?
Well, we know that at a global level, there is a shortage of the projected need for nursing and midwifery into the future. Across the globe, governments have failed to invest in this important workforce. And we see it at different levels across the country.
Yeah.
We know in New South Wales, we lose nurses and midwives to Queensland and to Victoria and to the ACT because of better pay and conditions.
They offer them more money. Just without being too specific, I mean, a nurse that's involved in general duties at a hospital in this state, in New South Wales, the salary would be what, roughly?
Well, roughly the starting pay for a first-year nurse coming into the system, not taking into account their shift penalties,
yep,
somewhere between $70,000 to $80,000. So that's not an awful lot of money. It means that they're very reliant on those shift patterns.
Yeah. Well, we've got this situation, and one of the reasons for talking to you, I mean, one in five nurses are leaving the job. Because of their, is it just poor pay or is it poor working conditions, mistreatment? What is it?
Well, we would say it's all three. In New South Wales, our members are calling for an inquiry into the workplace culture within New South Wales Health. We see, as a byproduct, I would suspect, of the working conditions, unfortunately, we see bullying and harassment occurring in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We see significant pressure being placed on nurses and midwives. And, you know, in certain situations on a daily basis, nurses and midwives are having to decide which patient they prioritise. It means they go home at the end of the shift feeling like they haven't done all that they could have.
Yeah, and when you say bullying, look, I have to say, and I said to you before we started the conversation on air, I've had a pretty nasty situation myself with my wife at a hospital. I won't name the hospital because I don't think that's fair because it's a statewide problem. And I was told literally by someone there, almost on the QT, they said it's chaos. It's absolute chaos, from emergency to ward to surgery if needed. It's a chaotic situation. And, Michael, we can't have that.
No, we cannot. We cannot have that at all. When we see local health districts prioritising their budget over bringing in agency staff, when those agency staff are brought in, they're standing next to someone doing the same job, sometimes being paid three times the rate,
Yeah.
because the crisis is to the point where the agencies can charge what they like.
So I'm assuming, just explain firstly to me and the listeners what an agency nurse is. So this is an employment agency that has nurses on the books and they supply them to the hospital. Is that it?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Right. Okay. And they're getting three times what the nurse at the hospital, the staff nurse, is getting paid.
Yeah, we've heard reports of them getting two to three times the hourly rate. Now, agency nurses and casual nurses certainly deserve a higher rate because they don't get sick leave, annual leave, long service leave.
Yeah.
But when you see, you know, your lived experience is that you're struggling to make ends meet, your employer's not treating you as well as they could, the workloads just aren't improving. That leads to that nurse making a rational decision to resign from their employment and go and get work as an agency.
Yeah.
That compounds the problem yet again.
Now, again on the QT, because I was told this, and please confirm it for me. I mean, you're after a ratio, and you've been after it a long time, I think in ED of 1 to 5, and currently it's something like 1 to 12, 13 or 14. Is that about right?
Well, it varies from ED to ED, depending
okay,
on their
right.
staffing levels. Our claim is 1 to 3 in the ED departments
right.
and 1 to 4 on the wards. To the credit of the Labor government in New South Wales, they've agreed to bring in a system of 1 to 3 in the emergency departments, 1 to 4 in the wards, but we are still negotiating what that looks like with the government. We will be the second last state in the country to bring in this staffing process.
But of course, that's going to mean employing more nurses and hopefully for New South Wales on more money. Now, that's not going to be instant, is it?
No, it won't be instant. It will take time to rebuild the workforce. But we saw figures released recently that showed that nationally, 75,000 nurses, they're qualified, they could work tomorrow, who are not working in nursing. Now, that, I think, is probably the strongest bit of data that government should be paying attention to. We say there's no shortage of nurses. There's a shortage of good quality jobs that are well paid that enable an employer to hang on to those nurses.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Michael Waits from the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association about this problem. And it is a problem and it needs to be fixed. Tell me, has this been allowed to just get worse and worse and worse with nothing being done? And now we're in a chaotic situation and have to play catch up?
Well, we absolutely do need to play catch up. And I think it would be a contested position as to whether or not this is something that has evolved or whether or not this was something that is a product of purposeful intervention by governments. You know, the previous state government in New South Wales capped the wages of nurses and midwives.
They
that
did,
suppressed
yeah, they
our
did.
Wages
yeah.
over a number of years. And in fact, when COVID hit in 2020, they proposed no pay rise whatsoever, and the Industrial Relations Commission of New South Wales gave us 0.3% pay rise. So at the time when the community needed us most, the government respected us the least.
Just to emphasise the point, correct me if I'm wrong, but we did this research. The Northern New South Wales Local Health District spends an estimated $400,000 per day on agency nurses and local doctors. Would that be about right? Locum doctors?
Yeah, we saw that report as well. We've got no reason to refute it. Of course, we welcome the employment of those agency nurses. Without them, the hospital would struggle to operate and our members' working conditions would be even worse. But it's certainly a product, as we understand it, of you can live in the area and travel just a little bit further into Queensland and get a better rate of pay.
Yeah, all right. So this is a hyperinflation of this situation, nursing costs in any of the health districts, particularly in Western New South Wales, we're told. So, you know, the state government says they're going to help. That's great. But, I mean, you know, how long's a piece of string? How much money do they have to give you?
Well, it becomes a question of priorities, doesn't it?
I think
we heard Professor Adam Fells say that nurses and carers paid poorly because we choose to pay them poorly. When you look at subsidies that big business gets, when you look at the tax avoidance carried out by big multinationals, that the government could go and pursue some more revenue to pay for the services that our communities need.
Yeah.
So for us, it's a choice.
So How does this wage disparity between the permanent and agency nurses impact on morale? As I say, we've just had an experience, my wife and I, in a hospital, and they are just still incredibly cheerful and helpful. I mean, and the paramedics that took her to the hospital and the ambulance, just incredibly professional people. I mean, at that level, there's no drama, is there? But how's their morale?
Yeah, I think it reflects well on our members, right? Like, they are phenomenal people, nurses and midwives. They do fantastic job and they do it in an exceedingly professional way. And then they come to us and they come to their peers and they download, which is right for them to do. It is demoralising. It is demoralising to know that they will come back to work tomorrow and have the same workload issues, have the same responses from management. You know, they're trying their best to fix things, but nothing seems to move quickly enough. To then think about the load that shift work puts on a person, particularly younger people who are trying to raise a family. You know, those shift patterns become a problem. You become an agency nurse, you control which shifts you work, where you work, and you get a higher rate of pay on an hourly basis. Mm. And given there's a shortage at the moment, you can work as much or as little as you like. So for a lifestyle decision, why wouldn't you?
Well, exactly. And in some joints, you've got to pay to park, haven't you? God.
Yeah, well, that's a point for our members. You know, the recent 4% pay rise from the government provided them $50 before tax a week, and now some nurses are paying $100 a week
just to park the car. Yeah, park the car and go to work. Okay, look, I like to find solutions. So, specific initiatives proposed by you or the system to address this wage disparity. We've talked about some of them, but we have to keep the nursing staff in our state. In fact, let's talk about the whole country. We really do.
Yeah, we absolutely do. At the federal level, there is a review going on for both the nursing and midwifery workforces and their scope of practice. And we welcome those. We need that work to conclude quickly and for good solutions to be implemented. We know at the state level, whichever state it is, that governments need to invest in their workforce. They need to pay them well, value the work that they do, and we need to make sure that workload improvements are rolled out as quickly as possible and are funded in a way that allows that to happen.
Is there, Michael, structural reform needed from the Minister in New South Wales to mitigate these shortages in regional health jurisdictions? Just, you know, the system becomes, and it's honestly the experience we had, the first thing that occurs to you is this system is so big and there's so many people involved, so much administration involved. Does it need to be streamlined, made better? What needs to happen?
Well, the government, New South Wales, instigated a special commission of inquiry into healthcare funding, made submissions into that, a range of recommendations. And so we obviously support that there does need to be some structural changes. From our perspective, simple things like creating more nurse practitioner-led models of care, so and more midwifery-led models of care with endorsed midwives and giving them prescribing and referral rights. That will not only be cheaper for the system, but far more efficient and effective for the system. So things like that will also mean that nurses and midwives can look to a career that is more fulfilling and acknowledges their full scope of practice, the things that they went to university to learn how to do.
Yeah. Again, I'm speaking with Michael Waits from the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association. Well, that's true, Michael, isn't it? I mean, once upon a time, I mean, nurses were nurses until they retired in the old days, if you like, but that's obviously not the case now.
That's right. We're seeing a decrease within the workforce, certainly in New South Wales, of the percentage of people who are RN 7 or 8 or more. So the pay scale only goes up to RN 8 once you reach that, unless you get a promotional position. That's the peak of your band. And the percentage of those nurses as part of the entire workforce is decreasing. It's decreasing faster in midwifery. And our members tell us that's a product of senior nurses winding back their hours as a workload coping mechanism and a work-life balance mechanism, and also people leaving the system sooner.
Okay. What about overseas recruitment? Does that work? Is that needed?
Yeah, absolutely, it's needed. Okay. And we welcome with open arms nurses who are migrating to Australia to live here and work here. We absolutely rely on that. But we also know that the federal government and state governments can do more to build the workforce here. Australia turns out more undergraduate registered nurses every year. I think we're the second highest in the OECD countries. And the universities tell us they've got capacity to do more. When you look at midwifery, it's very competitive to become a midwife. ATAR up in the 90s to become a midwife, and yet we're struggling to keep midwives in the system.
Right.
And the issue from the university's perspective, why do they lose students along the way? And that's the issue of student poverty, which is really becoming apparent now with inflation.
Yeah, right. All right. Now, at our level, at listener level, I'm told one of the problems is often people will present an emergency and they really shouldn't be there. They should be going to the GP or a medical centre. Now, this is a difficult one, isn't it? Because if you think you're sick, you think you're sick. And you'll call 000 and end up in ambulance and end up in emergency. But maybe you shouldn't be there. Is that part of the problem?
Well, certainly we hear health ministers across the state talk about this issue. And when you speak with your neighbours about the cost to go and visit your GP and the waiting period to go in and get to see your GP. You know, if you want to see a GP today, you're probably dreaming. You've probably got a couple of days to wait unless you're lucky enough to be close to a big clinic.
Yeah, true.
And so if you're anywhere in that situation and you're not sure what's happening with your health and you are concerned, of course you're going to go to the local ED.
Yep.
It does mean that we have people that should, you know, could be somewhere else. So we're seeing urgent care clinics start to pop up. We welcome those. And we see that as one of the key areas where governments could put nurse-led models of care into those urgent care centres.
Well, again, I'm going to refer to the hospital that we had the experience with and the man that we know who works there. We know him very well and he described it as chaos. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Can we end the chaos? Now, obviously, some days are going to be worse than others. Is it possible to fix this?
Well, I'm a trade unionist. I live in eternal hope that we can have a better world. So I'm very optimistic we can fix it. But it won't be fixed unless the government is serious about improving the workloads. They say they are. We're seeing the reform come in. We need that finalised and agreed. But importantly at the moment, nurses in New South Wales, midwives in New South Wales need a pay rise that is competitive with the other states. If they don't address that, then all we're going to do is get more and more undergraduates coming into the system, going through the system for as long as they can and then leaving.
Yeah.
We won't see the retention that we need.
Well, that's the thing, Michael, isn't it? We're talking about some of the most important people in our workforce, nurses and midwives and paramedics. If it's not an attractive career, they'll look for something else. And as we've been saying, they start it and might do a few years and go, well, this is too hard and go. That's what we have to fix at the bottom end, surely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We fix the working conditions, we fix the rate of pay, and we make sure that they can have some work-life balance. You know, our members at the moment, they knock off shift. Their phone will ding with a text from management saying, hey, we need people for overtime tonight, or can you do an extra shift? Can you stay longer? That happens when you're on your days off. So it's pretty hard for them to turn off at the moment.
Yeah.
So a better work-life balance is absolutely needed.
Well, that's another issue, Michael. Again, you know, if you're asked to come in, you've had, a couple of hours sleep, you're going to try and be cheerful and do your job properly. But when you're tired and cranky, that's another issue. It must be.
Well, yeah, as I said before, our members remain professional and
they do.
The community doesn't see that. What we do see, unfortunately, is rising instances of violence and aggression against our members, unfortunately. It's understandable the community's frustrated with the level of service. And unfortunately, more often than not, it's a nurse or a midwife that's in front of them when their frustration boils over.
Mm. Yes, and we haven't even discussed the fact that, and I'm told this happens just about every weekend on a Friday and Saturday night, you see people coming into the ED with psychotic episodes and too much booze on board or too many drugs on board, and they get violent and abusive. It's a hell of a job.
Yeah, and I guess that's why we say to the government that, and governments across Australia, they need to be mindful of how they are reflecting the community's appreciation for the work that our members do, yep. And the value that our members and all healthcare workers add to the economy.
Yep.
You know, everyone relies on business, including a healthy society, for our communities to work and our economies to work. So we need to make sure that we're valuing that in the state and federal budgets.
All right. Well, let's live in hope. And I thank you very much for spending so much time with us. I appreciate it very much, Michael.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
That's Michael Waites, the Assistant General Secretary of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.